Hey, hey, y'all. Welcome to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. If you've ever wondered how relationships are approached from another perspective, this is your relationship roadmap. Today, we're in part two of Moving for Your Mate, and our tour guides are Charisse and Tori, Hassan and Tiffany, and Casey, who will definitely get more airtime in this part two, I promise. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of the show, everybody. Okay, so for all the newbies, the ground rules are as follows. There are no right or wrong answers. Debate is welcome. Keep it clean, keep it real, but most importantly, have fun. Let's go on and clink your neighbor and get it started after I have my little sip. So in part one of Moving for Your Mate, we talked a little bit about some of our backgrounds. And for all of you who are just joining us, everybody here except Casey has moved significant distances for their partner. But he's going to get to talk about his experience this episode as well. We talked a lot about what went into how we made decisions about moving across, and we're talking about across country or even across, you know, in some cases across the world. And we talked about what were some of the thoughts that went into making that decision. Also the feelings and the excitement and maybe sometimes anxiety that was a part of that decision. If you missed that, go back and listen to part one. Tiffany was telling us, you know, the story about when she moved to North Carolina to join Hassan from the state of Washington. Charisse and Tori, well, actually, this is still up for grabs for anybody who has done the moving. What were some of your thoughts in making the move? To the partner.
For me,
I think, you know, like I said, part of it was, you know, it was, I was also making a drastic life change, and joining the military. And so, you know, I was scared. I was scared. Like, I think Tiffany alluded to that as like, you know, it was a huge gamble, although we all thought that the gamble was worth it. You know, I was engaged to Torino, but you know, there was no guarantees, you know, and, you know, also, unfortunately, my family was not very supportive of the move, or of me joining the army or of Torino. So there was a lot that was on the, and, my best friend.
I was wrong, y'all. He's amazing. I didn't know what was on back then, though.
But I know that you guys were only protecting me, and everybody only wanted the best, and I get that. But so there was a lot riding on this decision, and you know, like I said, I'm glad that it worked. I mean, we have two beautiful children. We've been married for 23 years now.
23 years.
Yeah,
23 years for Charisse and Tori, and 10 years for Hassan and Tiffany. So for anybody who missed part one, obviously, these are things that worked out. So if it's something that's on your agenda, you might want to, you know, listen up to the...
Okay, I'm going to the army. Okay. So, but no, I just wanted to say that, it's, you know, it's never easy to make those choices. I mean, and a lot of times you're making them against the wishes of the people that you love and care for. But I'm glad that I followed my heart. Because if I wouldn't have, I don't know where I would be now. Because I think our marriage and the things we've done together and the way Tori has supported me has afforded me a lot of things and has led to me being in a position right now where I'm doing the thing that I've always wanted to do. And it's really because of, you know, his support and his pushing me to be the very best that I could be. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's valuable and you've got to weigh those things. So
that's awesome. So I want to put this out for Tori and Hassan because, as I mentioned, maybe in part one, everybody has moved. In the case of Tiff and Charisse, you guys made that transition when you were engaged to your partner. Tori, Hassan, myself, we were married to our partner when we made the transition to another location. What how does that change the dynamic, or, you know, or the thought process, or how you feel about making that move?
Tori, you want to go ahead?
Sure. So because we were married, it had a lot of discussions, you know, and I told her, honestly, you've been with me all these years. You moved with me in the military. Where do you want to go? I told her the only stipulation I had to have, it had to have some professional sports team. I don't care where, just professional sports, because you didn't get a whole lot of those in Alabama. You didn't get a whole lot of those in Tennessee or Georgia, unless you travel good ways. Mm-hmm. So she said, hey, how about Seattle? Yeah, it's on the West Coast. It's close enough for us to go home to California, but far enough where no one's going to come knock on your door saying, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
So, you know, once we decided that, I was all in. You know, hey, this is where we're going to go. You know, my military background, my state of mind was, I'm going to help support my wife. Mm. This is where she wants to go. Boom, I'm all in. Let's go.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel the same, T, on that. You know, supporting my wife was pivotal for me because she essentially did that at the beginning of our marriage. And so, you know, much into that kind of military mindset where I was raised with my father in the military. So moving wasn't really a problem. Having the reason to move was new. And at the time when we made the move, for me, it wasn't a problem because she supports me constantly. But then also, it was time to pour into supporting her because her career was taking off and she's still taking off. Like, she's still ascending into her professional positionship as an executive with Microsoft. So for me, I wanted her to follow my lead for the formative development of our relationship, but it wasn't that I would not follow her. And when the time came, I was like, there's going to be a time, babe, when we leave. But it was in her listening and following my lead to wait that there will be the opportune time for us to leave, which would be me following her. And so, in short, when she came to Charlotte, I let her know, I was like, we're not going to live here forever, because I didn't want to live in Charlotte forever. So I was like, there will come a time we'll leave. Where we'll go, we don't know yet, but when that time comes, we'll go. She was ready to leave Charlotte probably 9 months after she got there. And I was like, oh, you definitely go have to wait. We're not leaving yet.
So, yeah. Tiff, I know it only took 9 months for you to decide it was time to go, but how long did you end up staying?
I stayed just shy of 10 years.
So it was 10 years!
9 years and some change.
9 years and some change.
Yeah. Lord Jesus.
Yeah, we just rounded off to the nearest 10th and just call it 10
That's
years.
That's a lot of commitment right there, Sam.
Yeah. No, yeah. It, you know, it was a transition. I am, you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone.
Wow. So what I'm hearing you say is, in about 10 years, Casey and I will move back to Seattle.
Now, y'all have different benchmarks.
I'm kidding. I'm happy here. It is a transition, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was more like culturally, even professionally. I left a great post in Seattle, so I wasn't happy with my career.
Yeah.
With my job. When I got a job. So just know when you pray, be specific. I asked God for a job. He gave me one, but I needed a career that I actually liked. And so
noted, ask for a career. Robin is taking notes.
Yeah. So that, but you know what? I'm going to tell you this, because I remember praying. I was like, hey, Lord, I know you didn't set me up. I just got married. I got this wonderful man, but I am miserable at this job that I'm at, you know, and of course I'm thinking about what I left behind, and I was doing so great. But I was like, I know this ain't a setup. I know that this is designed by you. And so it all came to fruition because my career growth and development, Microsoft, I established my career at Microsoft in Charlotte. A lot of people think it started in Seattle because I'm from Seattle, but I actually landed that job in Charlotte. And I attribute it to God. Like, I wouldn't be where I am today had I not made a leap to Charlotte. And then by going to Charlotte, it was like a pressure cooker. It forced me to really stretch myself in ways that I hadn't before, which is what I asked for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it paid out. So, the funny thing is, when I got the job at Microsoft, I told them, I said, this is our ticket back home. I said that when I got it. So it was 9 years later, that, or about 8 years later, we, Microsoft moved us back home. And it was just as easy going as it was coming back. Everything opened, all the doors opened up.
So meant to be.
Totally. Yeah.
And meant to be.
Yeah.
So for me, it was not a challenge to move, literally, in the logistics of it, because Microsoft covered everything. It wasn't a challenge for me to leave in my mental space. Like, I'd never owned Charlotte. It wasn't home to me. It was just a place. Mm-hmm. And so leaving it was not a problem. And then the leap to come back, because Microsoft made it so comfortable for Tiffany and the family, my only trepidation was landing in a career space. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of where I'm still a little treading water a little bit. But that was the only concern that I had. But mm-hmm. never anything about leaving, never anything about relocating, never anything about it. I think what sold it for me in the logistics of being back in Washington was literally the weather, the association to family that was here that I didn't have for 19 years being in Charlotte or being in North Carolina. And just the identity of doing it for my wife and then being closer to our parents because they were in California and Washington, not now across the country. And so those reasons added up. It was a very different mindset, which I'm sure Torino and Casey can attest to, is when you do it from the notion of the beginning of a life, so to speak, it's very different. You have much more trepidations. But after you've evolved and you're doing it together, like, I didn't leave for her. We left together. We came back together. And so we had a team. We knew we had a plan. We were working. And so those things weren't, you know, it wasn't the trepidation of forging your own path by yourself. It's now you had a family or a partner. And so it was, for me, it was easier. And even after we've come back, you know, Tiffany has had, you know, trepidatious moments of feeling like, should we have left or should we have stayed? And because things have been difficult for me, but I've just been like, no, this was a blessing. It might be a little rocky right now for me, but once mine comes in, we're going to soar because yours are solid. The kids are solid. This is a solid place. All of these other blessings are here. So my little moment is going to end. And when it does, we barbecuing. It's a party. And so we're not going to blow it because it's not here yet. Like it was when you left, when she left, job, money, boom, it was all there, which was necessary in our foundation. Well, now we're here. So the next concern is, how do you continue on? How do you remain faithful? How do you continue moving in your path? So
I like this. I'm hearing a theme of faith and faith in your partner, faith that it's supposed to be, and that you're covered in that regard. And though there will be some bumps and bruises, it's going to work out. That's awesome. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Robin. We're in part two of talking about moving for your mate. We're talking with Charisse and Tori, or Torino, Hassan and Tiff, or Tiffany, and Casey. And I want to give some airspace to Casey a little bit. I actually have some Casey-oriented questions that all of you can speak to as well. This is where I am less versed. But there is the perspective of the one who actually was there to receive the one who was moving. And I don't want to downplay what that transition is like for them, particularly like in the case of Hassan, where you had been there for a little bit. Tori, you were in the, you know, career of the Army, and, you know, this was kind of your life, but this was new for the person who was leaping in. What's it like to be the receiver of that? You know, someone is changing so much to have this life with me. What are some of the responsibilities or excitements or concerns that come with that part of the story? Casey, you ain't had a chance to talk at all. Brother, you get to
tell me.
Well, I think speaking from the man's perspective, we're naturally about protecting our mate. So even for me, when you said I do, then I automatically had to jump into, okay, now I got to make sure that I do everything I can to make sure that you're comfortable, because yeah, you are leaving your world and basically coming into my world. That's a big, you know, that's a big thing. That's the ultimate respect and the ultimate trust. And so there's no way, if you're willing to do that sacrifice, that I can't, you know, basically help nurture that and make sure that you're comfortable in that transition. It's a lot to make sure that, first and foremost, just like for us, my situation was because I had traveled in my, you know, in my career, which is entertainment. So basically being here economically and Sharice and Tori, you guys know, well, you guys, everyone knows here, like the South is economically is a lot cheaper to live. So although I was traveling a lot and I was, you know, in entertainment, I was making LA prices, but it could sustain a lot further living down South.
Yeah.
So
wait, because you got to clink your nail on that. I left Seattle to come down here.
It's like she came here, to be honest, like Robin came here once. And I think like the biggest culture shock for her was we stopped and got some gas one day.
Oh my God.
and I think the gas was like five. It was like $1.89. She's like, what is so that?
Some people come to Memphis and I was take mad. Pictures on Beale Street or at the Riverwalk or at the show. I'm taking pictures at the gas pump. Yeah. All the gas prices and texting it back, posting it on social media. Yeah. Holy crap, you guys, look at the gas prices out here.
She thought I was and I was complaining that it went up. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, because, and for me, I knew, especially, I knew that there was going to be a transition because for her, she was leaving her home, she was leaving her family, she was leaving her job. So, and I had to make sure that for me, as her husband and as the man of the house, that I could step up to the plate and do what I need to do to take care of my family, which was make sure that while she's transitioning, my thing was, even before we got married, take your time. And just like it's been said on this, you know, on this call all day long, I want you to find what you love, because it's, you know, because it's easy to get a job, but it's harder to get that career and find that career that you, because you know, it's because we all know this, when you do something that you love, it's not work. Mm-hmm. It's a passion.
Yeah.
And so my thing was, I have my passion and I want her to find hers. I know what I can, it's like I've been living, you know, this life for a long time. I know I can take care of us. I got us, you know. So I want you to be able to take your time, plant your feet, you know. And it was the same thing where, you know, initially, like, you know, the families did not totally agree with, you know, well, you know, and, you know, especially, you know, on her side, her mother and father was like, well, why you got to go all the way there? Why can't he come here? But, and even then, for me, I had to sit down and have an individual conversation with each one of them to let them know, look, I love her, and it's my job to protect her and make sure that we're okay and be here for her and console her and, you know, and be that rock that she needs in her life. And so I'm not going to have her come all this way to disappoint her.
Mm.
So, and I had to make sure that they were okay, that they, because I had a talk with her mother, just one-on-one, and I had a talk with her dad, one-on-one. Now they're mom and pop for me.
Yeah.
And I think even now, because even when we first got married, I was living where we were living in it was more like a cottage. It was like a 3-bedroom, 1 bath.
How many kids do we have?
We've got 9.
9 children between us.
9 kids between us. That includes stepkids, because for us, my family is like, look, it doesn't matter, step, half, whatever. Family is family. So, and even then, when we were talking about getting married, we were like, okay, we were talking about having a wedding And we're like, well, we might just do it in the backyard. We talk about renting porta potties and all kinds of stuff because
we had one bathroom.
But
when things happen as they're supposed to,
and that's been
things fall into place.
Everything
we got the bigger place before it became an issue, and all
Because we knew we had gotten married, but then Robin went back to Seattle for a period of time because we already knew we got married in April, but she was going to be officially moving here in September, and so and the kids were coming in for the summer. Ironically, we were talking about, well, we got to find a home because of two things I wanted to happen. Number one, I wanted us to create a place of our own that she can say, this is her. It's not like she was just coming into my furniture, my pictures, my teeth, you know. It's like, okay, now we got to find a place for us to build together.
I see some facial expressions. You know? This goes back, I think, a little bit to the topic of neutral.
Yeah.
Neutral territory, which I don't think we're going to have time in this episode to get to it, but it's worth talking about.
Yeah.
Moving for somebody means you're moving kind of into a situation that's not 100% neutral.
Oh, yeah. So we found a house. We were literally on a Sunday evening because Sharice knows this more than any. We dated basically on Messenger. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would go to sleep. Wake up, good morning, babe. You know, that's how we dated for almost a year on Messenger. And basically, even when it came time for us to find a place to call ours together, we were on Facebook Messenger. And I said, look, let me just go on Zillow or whatever. We saw a house that Sunday evening. Me and our daughter looked at it Monday. Tuesday, we were signing the lease. You know, I mean,
it's meant to be.
It literally happened like that.
By the way, we dated on Messenger, but we did not meet on Messenger.
No, we didn't meet on Messenger.
Yeah, no. But that's kind of a different dynamic though to this story, because we did get married before any of the moves had to happen. And yet I came here, we were engaged when I came for my first visit. The second visit was to come move into my house. Yeah. So that was kind of a lot.
And Hassan, we did the same thing. Our first official date was a neutral. We met up in Chicago.
No doubt.
Chicago was on the second on the list.
Yeah.
Chicago and Pullman, apparently. Pullman, Washington.
Yeah, so it was kind of like that neutral ground where it wasn't my space, but hers. So it's like we met there. We left there for 3 days, and hung out. And I met some of her cousins, so she had an out just in case it didn't work out. She could just go stay with her.
I know. Hey, get my bed ready in case this joker ain't real.
but it was
a good first date.
It was a good first date, and you know it's been beautiful ever since.
Yes. Not bad. Anybody else want to talk a little bit about the responsibility?
Yeah.
Be the mover too.
It was similar in a sense of the trust function and somewhat of the assurance of others, the family members, and knowing that. I had to not only assure Tiffany so that she was at peace because she was the one coming, but, you know, her sisters, her mom and her papa, you know, they didn't know who or what kind of pedigree was finna come into their life. And when they got a hold of figuring out what kind of man I was, you know, hey that's all it was. Plain and simple.
Thank goodness they saw your sister,
right? You know, in some instances, you know, I had to tell them to check my wallet. You know, this ain't bad. But no, honestly, it was a concern to make sure that she was comfortable, to make sure that her coming so far that she wouldn't feel alone, to make sure that she felt protected. I didn't have, you know, like you, Casey, I didn't have the trappings of financial structure to make her feel at ease because as an educator, I wasn't making more than her. And I still don't. But I had to absorb her mentally and spiritually and then, of course, physically to let her know that money can come and go, but I'm your man and I'm leading this ship. And so I'm not defined by the money, although it's nice. Trust and believe, I could do with a little bit more cheese on my sandwich. But the reality is, as a man about mine, it don't, the money don't make me. And so when you come into this world, into this house, I'm leading it. And we're going to lead it together, but I'm a man about mine, so we're going to be here. So I remember when she was, you know, when we were about to go into getting engaged and, you know, be married, she was like, well, I think you should, you know, talk to my pop, you know, like, in the sense of addressing that being, and I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing none of that. And so if you trust me and God is leading us, then we good. At the end of the day, as long as God is leading me, that's all you're going to have to worry about. If I'm following him, then we're going to make it there. So because I'm getting approval by your father, your mother, your sister, everybody else. But trust was very key to provide that for me.
Yes.
That's a really powerful note to actually kind of end on. And there's more to be said here. But for right now, I need to thank you all for being a part of this episode. Tori and Sharice, Hassan and Tiff. Casey, you finally got to speak, brother. Thank you for being a part of my tour guide panel. Casey, thank you for producing the show. Thank you for the theme music. Now you can catch up on Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars at your leisure by following us. Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, or Pocket Cast, and actually more podcast platforms. And remember to follow us on social media. On Facebook, it's Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. On Instagram, it's at Just Princess Robin. Thanks for joining us. And remember, regardless of what the roadmap says, like Sharice said, you gotta follow your own heart. Until next week, smooches.